I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. I'm so glad you could join me today for It's a Good Life. We'll be looking in just a few moments in Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at several scriptures today. I hope you've got your pencil and paper ready. This is a very important Bible study that we're looking at today. Let me invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. Now, on that website, you can download a free transcript of this program of It's a Good Life, or you can also download other programs of It's a Good Life. These are PDF files that you can download off of that internet, or you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. If you'll write me and ask me for one of those transcripts, I'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Why not go to that website today and leave us an email, send us an email, or leave a prayer request there, and we'll be glad to pray with you about any requests that the Lord has laid on your heart. That's lrwm.org. Now in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35 through 36, it says this, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd." Now in these verses, we see the word compassion. This word compassion here means to hurt deep inside. Jesus was hurting. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, we see where he wept over the city. And I think back as I read the scriptures, and I think back of when I first received Jesus as Savior. I didn't know as much then as I know now about the Lord. I know that the Lord Jesus, when he came and was born of a woman in Bethlehem, I know that when he came and he was born that way, he was born as a man, as a baby, as a human being. And I realize also that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. Well, when Jesus came, he set aside his deity. He set aside the deity that we know as God. And he took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh. Yet he knew no sin as he lived in this sinful world. So he was a man. He was a human being who felt pain. He hurt deep inside. He had compassion. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Well, what did Jesus see that made him cry? We read in the Bible that Jesus wept. When Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, the Bible says that he saw something that made him cry. And in our verses today, as we've read, Jesus had compassion. Well, what did he see that made him cry? First of all, I see that in Matthew chapter 18, verses 11 through 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." Jesus saw, first of all, I believe, the reason he had compassion, the reason he was hurting, is because he saw the sheep was scattered. They were sheep scattered abroad, men and women who needed him as their Savior. In John 10, verses 11 through 15, the Bible says, and I'll read just the first part of verse 11 of John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." A shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 4 through 6 says, "The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." And then that very familiar verse in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. The Bible says, "There all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," that's Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Jesus saw the condition that this world was in, that the human beings had not received him as their Savior. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. He came as the good shepherd, but the sheep would not follow him. Now, of course, we know that there were some who followed. We're thankful that during his lifetime on this earth, during his physical lifetime here, that many believed upon him. But he was moved with compassion for those who had not believed upon him. And the Bible says there in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Have you gone astray? Well, the Bible says you have. The Bible says that if you have not trusted Jesus as your Savior, you have gone astray, and that he's ready and willing to take you back. He's looking for you today as the good shepherd. Well, something else I see here that made Jesus weep, made him cry. He saw men who were depraved. They were fainted because they had a spiritual sickness. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 through 31, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." He wept because men had fainted, women had fainted, people had fainted because they had not depended upon him. They had a spiritual sickness. But the Bible says in that verse we just read, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Your strength may need renewing today. Maybe you have never trusted him as your Savior and you have no strength at all. Maybe you've trusted him as Savior, but you've strayed away from him. Well, you need to renew your strength today. You need to turn to the Lord. As a saved person, if you've trusted him, you need to turn to him today and say, "Lord, forgive me for not trusting in you, not for my salvation, Lord, at this point, because I know I'm saved, but forgive me for not serving you the way I should." Well, Jesus wept. And then we understand that he saw people whose destiny was hell. Don't let anybody tell you that there's not a place called hell. Jesus spoke more on hell in the New Testament than anyone else. In the Old Testament, we look back in the Psalms and we see in Psalm 9:17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Proverbs 27:20 says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Isaiah 5:14, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, it says, "There in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 14:11, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." The Bible tells us that there is a hell. Jesus believed there was a hell. Jesus knows and he knew there was a hell, and that's the reason that he wants you to be saved today. One of the reasons he wants you to be saved. The real reason he wants you to be saved today is so that you can bring honor and glory to the Father. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that all things were created for him and by him, and that because of that, he was to receive the glory and the honor that comes only to God. Well, Jesus saw the destiny of the people and he wept. He knew they were on their way to a devil's hell. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. Something else he saw people in despair without a shepherd. And we've already seen some of that. In Acts chapter 8, verses 30 and 31, it says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." As we look at that, we understand that this man was wondering about salvation. He was reading Isaiah, but there was no one to show him what it really meant. But the Bible tells us that Philip ran, and he told him what it meant. Well, what about today? Who's around to tell people what it means to be saved? 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4 talks about pastors, elders. Jesus is here, and the pastor is here. The Bible, the Word of God, leads people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Pastors in local churches lead people to the Lord by preaching the Word of God. You today, as a saved person, need to be leading people to Jesus today. Are you doing that? Are you telling people about the love of the Lord? And as a person who has never trusted Christ, one day there will be no excuse for you. You've heard the Word of God now. You've heard how that Jesus loves you, how that He came and He died for you. He wants to save you today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right where you're at, let me invite you to ask Him into your heart. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior right now. If you'll pray that prayer, Jesus will save you today. Well, it's been a joy being with you today, and let me invite you to once again look at our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. And until this same time next week, I'll be thinking of you. I may not know you personally, but I pray for those who listen, and I pray that you will know Jesus as your Savior. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
But I